This is by far the most important part of setting a boundary, is doing the neuroplasticity work, getting to the root of whatever trigger that's coming up, the boundary that's needing to be set right now, and reprogramming it. Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. Welcome back. You'll have to forgive my voice. I'm at the tail end of this cold. Not COVID, I tested, but I shared with many on Instagram that I was going through the cold. In fact, I was really active on Instagram stories this last weekend. I got a hair to do it, and it was so beautiful to receive all of the incredible feedback in there. I still haven't even gotten a chance to say thank you so much from a really heart-centered place to everybody who got in touch to share love, congrats, support about my fertility journey. I read every DM and comment. And like I said in an Instagram post this week, I spent the majority of that day when the episode went live, because of all of your love and feedback, crying. It was so overwhelmingly beautiful. And it felt like such a marker to arrive at a manifestation many of you had been following me on over the last 4 years, you know, and it was a real testament to the work that goes into the process. And yeah, so I just wanted to really thank you. Also, inside of Instagram this weekend, we were getting a resounding just praise and love for all of the updates that we made inside of the pathway. So thank you for that feedback. Every message, I think, makes each of us who contributed want to cry. So many people put their effort into it, from our coaches to Jessica that you hear on here co-hosting, to Grace, to the whole team. I mean, it was a real team effort. And then a question that I received a couple of times inside was, can you guys continue the discount that we are providing over the holiday weekend further so that people could join the pathway? And so the team and I got together and we started to mastermind what we usually mastermind every year, which is a challenge. So we are going to do this December, kicking off on Monday the 7th, our magnetism challenge. And I love to do this during the holidays every year because I think this year is going to be the most important one that we do. But collectively, the holidays tend to, as we've said in a couple of podcast episodes, bring up a lot of triggers. And so traditionally in the past, as a community, we have done reprogramming challenge together that spans a couple of weeks. And it's usually really profound for people, because when you're doing something collectively like this, we're holding each other accountable. We're able to go into the community group when you're in the pathway and ask questions and not get stuck and know everybody's working through the same thing, and people see profound results from it. But this year, with the rise that's happening right now in COVID again, and it's contributing to deeper isolation, I think it's when we're going to need each other most. And it's going to be such a prime time to manifest. If you have not heard my very first short, tiny podcast on the energetics of this year, especially the pandemic, go ahead and click the link below and you will listen to why this is such a pivotal, incredible portal for manifestation. So if you're finding yourself in a rock bottom, a rut, or even like many of us who have been navigating during this year, doing the work, are in a flow, which kind of, you know, can bring up a lot of guilt and triggers in a different way when things are really flowing for you. Regardless, it's in the rock bottoms and the ruts that we can harness the most energy to manifest. And anyone who's ever done our up-level workshop within the pathway can definitely attest to this, because there's always a gift and we're all being affected individually at this time with whatever's coming up for us. May it have nothing to do with the pandemic. May it just be something with our personal lives. Because like I always say, the moment we begin consciously or unconsciously manifesting something, so why not be in the driver's seat and consciously do it? But the moment we begin, our manifestation's already orbiting us. And you can look at this as a visual as like your aura. It's as far out as it can be based on where your self-worth is in ratio to what you're calling in. And it's just orbiting. And the moment it begins orbiting, after you've consciously or unconsciously started calling something in, the universe will immediately start to mirror you in your life. It probably has been, whether you've been conscious to it or not, with triggers that directly represent where you're still blocked. So where your self-worth is still low. And even when you're being triggered in the day, you may not see the connection until you actually do the daily practice, to do the journal and to do the deep imagining, to go, whoa, that is so deeply connected to what I'm manifesting. So this challenge this year will be different than other years where we usually just focus on solely the reprogramming. This year, we're going to structure it just like this. We're all collectively going to go back through how to manifest together. And because it's updated now, which we've received fantastic feedback on, because it's such an easier flow, you figure out your authentic code in it. Most importantly, we're going to be casting our list together, finding our expanders. So the first week of the challenge, we're really going to be doing how to manifest, and then all of us are going to go through the daily practice videos together, because now it's a workshop that goes through and explains everything. And don't worry, for somebody who has fallen off the horse of this work, but they're a member, or the people who are like, I have a really hard time with things coming up when I'm doing the deep imaginings, all of that has been answered in this new daily practice. For the people who are like, I don't have all the time in the world to be doing a 30-minute to an hour exercise every day, solved it for you. We even have 10-minute deep imaginings in there. So in the link below, it's going to walk you through this. But just to give you a general overview, we're all going to go through how to manifest together so we can each consciously cast our list, consciously call in what we want for 2021. Then we're each going to watch so we can be very educated. It's a quick watch on every video, the new daily practice. We're going to do that in the first week. And then we have the next 3 weeks structured of how each of us are going to walk through the daily practice using every trigger that's coming up in our daily life. Nothing's too small. They can be positive triggers. They can be shadow triggers. They can be fear, jealousy, envy, isolation right now, numbing right now is a huge one. Any little thing that comes up, and we're going to journal it and we're going to take it through all of the different new filtrations of how to do the daily practice. May it be based on your time limit, based on the trigger that's coming up, or if you're reprogramming and reinforcing. And why we do this again is because it will get you so deep back on the practice. It's the perfect amount of time in neuroplasticity to set the habit. But most importantly, from a manifestation standpoint, you're going to have addressed every single thing you need to do to create all of the magnetism you're needing to begin to connect with your manifestation in early 2021. And again, I just really want to reiterate, you can always manifest during, even if it's a metaphoric world rock bottom that's happening externally or one that's happening in your life. And so this is going to be that perfect ammo with community and accountability and momentum behind you to collectively all go through this together, literally to cast our list, unblock, find our expanders, and get into our self-worth. And in order to manifest, you have to have three of those emotion at all times, which is unblocking, expanding, and not settling or being in your worth, which is passing tests. This kicks off Monday, December 7th. Don't worry if you end up hearing this later, you can jump on and join us. This is a really chill challenge. It sounds like a lot, but it's actually really easy. So we're kicking this off on Monday, the 7th, all together, which is going to be the week that we go through how to manifest, we craft our list, and we watch the daily practice videos. So follow us on Instagram at @tobemagnetic. You'll see me on stories. Definitely tune in to Instagram if you're wanting to keep along in that route. If you're already currently a member, definitely be tuning in to the Pathway Community Group because we'll be pretty active in that. So for all of the information on the challenge, go ahead and find it in the link below. Or you can always just go straight to our homepage, tobemagnetic.com, where you will see this episode of the podcast and all show notes will have all of the information in there. And if you're not in the pathway, a lot of you asked again if we can continue the sale, and that's our gift to you this season. I want this to be accessible to everybody. If the deal is what's going to be the entry point to get you in to do this in order to connect with your manifestation in 2021, it's with the biggest and warmest heart that we're so excited to extend that. So you'll want to use the new code, which is MAGNETIC20. That's all caps, MAGNETIC 20, to sign up for the pathway at the rate of $20 a month versus the normal $27 a month. So it's a $7 monthly savings, which total to 12 payments of $240 for the year. So again, if you're wanting to hop into this challenge and join us so that you can really do all of the groundwork this entire season, have a focal point in order to connect with your manifestation in 2021, use the code MAGNETIC20. You can also find that in the link below. And if you missed that code, go ahead and listen into the mid-roll because I'll repeat it there. I can't wait to see you all Monday. This is going to be super profound. And just doing the reprogramming in the past has had tremendous results for people. Now I can't wait to watch your results when the community together is going through the entire formula, casting the list, and doing all of the groundwork to connect with our manifestations in 2021. Let's get into the episode. Welcome back to another Explained episode, which has quickly become your favorite segment of the entire podcast, Expanded. In Explained, Dr. Tara Swart joins my co-host Jessica Gill and I in deep diving on specific themes within manifestation, which all of you love because it's where we bridge our process of manifestation with neuroscience and psychology and the deep science that anchors it all together. Back in July, Dr. Tara Swart joined us as our psychology and neuroscience advisor. And why we handpicked her, besides the fact that she's so unbelievably marvelous, she has a PhD in neuroscience and a former medical career as a psychiatrist of 7 years. She's also a senior lecturer and on faculty at MIT, no big deal, and senior lecturer at King's College. She's currently working on research projects on plasticity and epigenetics. She has Google Talks, LinkedIn, Facebook, and 2 TED Talks. She's also the author of 3 books, her latest being The Source. So let's get into another Explained episode where Dr. Tara and I break down the energetics and science of manifestation, offering a roundtable perspective on the deep intricacies and connection. Here goes.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Explained with Lacey Phillips, Dr. Tara, and it's Jessica here. I'm going to start us off with a quote. Today's theme is all around boundaries. This is such a huge topic. Everyone, you know, is trying to understand boundaries, trying to figure out where they need them in their life, trying to navigate if they even feel safe using them. So I just am so excited. We're launching this sort of in tandem with our workshop release of Unblock Boundaries last week, and just so excited to dive into this.
And this time, probably more than ever, is when everybody is needing that. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'll kick us off with a quote. Your magnetism is only as strong as your boundaries. So Lacey, Dr. Tara, how do you define boundaries and how boundaries plays into magnetism and manifesting and really just being your most authentic self?
Yeah, I'm happy to kick that off on the energetic perspective. So something that I learned pretty early on, you know, when I wasn't practicing the spiritual bypass manifestation anymore, is that no is the most magnetic word you can use, period. And it's interesting because most of us have been taught that, you know, staying in the positive is the most magnetic thing we can do. However, boundaries really and we'll get into this deeper, may it be verbal, physical, or energetic, to set them, it's really about drawing a line in the sand of understanding what you will no longer accept. And also, on the energetic perspective, taking a look at what's taking space in your life that could be open to being filled with your manifestations. So us putting out this course, we used to have one that was a lot smaller that we would kind of say was tailored for boundaries, but nothing like this. This is the actual manifestation process of boundaries and how to set them and what's most important when setting them, may it be energetic, verbal, or actionable. So it's pretty potent just how we believe that the foundation of this work is self-worth, is the law of attraction that plays deeply into boundaries being a stamp to owning your self-worth. Three great ways to take inventory if you're needing to set boundaries, may it be energetic, verbal, actionable. These three questions can be really valuable. Whatever is happening in this moment that might be triggering you, does it impede on emotional or physical well-being? Does it make you feel small, like you're settling? And the third question, do you feel like you're being taken advantage of, whether physically, emotionally, financially, energetic, or just yourself, like meaning you yourself are not honoring your own boundaries? So I'll kind of pass it over to you, Dr. Tarr, to get a more psychiatrist perspective of boundaries and neuroplasticity.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, completely agree with everything that you've just said, and have also actually recently revisited the workshop. So, you know, I just think the wording is so good to explain what it means. I agree that saying no and the boundaries workshop are, in a way, perhaps the most important workshop of the whole piece, and that boundaries themselves are perhaps the most important thing that we can be aware of and good at practicing in life. And obviously, as a psychiatrist, I've seen some extreme cases of this not being the case. To me, it's a line that can't be crossed. And I love the three parts that you expressed so clearly about how the response to that line being crossed should be. So whether it's verbal, physical, or energetic, I want to just give some very specific examples of what a boundary being crossed might feel like, because I'm continually surprised that at all sorts of ages, there are people who say, I've never heard of that before, or I'm really bad at that, and I've just never been able to do it, and I don't know how to do it. So a boundary being crossed can be, you know, an obvious example is domestic violence, but a less obvious example is someone that keeps getting into your personal space. Not necessarily even in a contact way, but somebody that always just gets too close to you and you don't like it. Another example could be somebody who always makes a little comment that puts you down. That isn't obviously emotionally abusive, perhaps, but you always go away from that person feeling less good about yourself. It can be the person who borrows money and never pays you back. So there's all sorts of boundary transgressions that are crossing a line, but sometimes they can be so micro that you don't really realize that they're happening, but they build up to demean your self-worth. And look, I'm not going to lie, I still struggle with saying no sometimes, but I'm very clear on what my boundaries are in terms of those really important things, physical, emotional, financial, safety, and self-worth kind of things. It tends to be the smaller things. But I also find for me, not so much anymore, but when I used to travel a lot, that it fluctuated. So when I took my regular sort of digital detox for a month over Christmas and New Year, I would relax all my boundaries. And in February, I'd be very like open to people crossing those boundaries and me not doing too much about it. So it's a bit like how, Lacey, you described your sort of hippie upbringing. I would become like much more hippie in February. And then I'd sort of realize that that's not really working. So I need to kind of be very crystal clear about boundaries again. And then I'd find that towards the end of the year, when I was stressed and tired, that my boundaries would be very rigid. And you know, at times where actually it's not really transgressing your safety, it's just that you're more closed off to things. And that can also be a manifestation of poor self-worth. So I also really wanted to pick up as a psychiatrist on what you said, Lacey, about this year with the pandemic, lockdowns of various times in various places, basically confinement, because things like our roles in life, the expectations on us, the values that we hold, the secrets in our families, and boundaries as one of those things They've all been massively activated this year, particularly boundaries because of physical confinement. So I think it's really interesting to realize that because that neural pathway has been there for so long, because it was the boundaries that you grew up with as a child, that they can very easily get reactivated. And if you're not conscious about them, then it's easy to default to those old ways of being, which is either that you're the rebel of the boundary or that you are the child that always behaves and sticks within the boundary that they're given. And that perhaps if a member of your adult family doesn't stick to those boundaries, that causes you great distress. So it's just really important to understand how your neural pathways have developed around boundaries and being as aware of them as possible and what you need to change, if anything.
I think this is a good segue from a psychology perspective, where the lack or inability to set boundaries usually stems from. May it be codependency, may it be being raised with narcissism, you know, a narcissistic parent, that your emotions, et cetera, aren't valued, or that you're shamed if you do say no. I was having an interesting conversation with my friend Ashley Neese when I was up at the Forest House last weekend. She's doing this really interesting thing where protection of her son, his safety, and we're just talking about like emotional safety and every type of safety, is number one to her. So for instance, they were out of town and they were staying in another home for 3 weeks. Her and her partner really advocated for him every step of the way. So if like, you know, old parenting tactics were happening around this child, say he was talking with his pacifier in his mouth and, you know, someone pulled it out and was like, I can't hear you. They were like, we don't do that in our house. Like they could really advocate. And I know for me, that made me sweat because I'm already like, I don't think I'll be able to do that with my parents. You know, like my dad, for instance, that really made me look at, oh my God, not only do I have so much work still to do on my own boundaries, that's going to be a whole new level of challenge. So I think that's a good segue to talk about where the root of setting boundaries or even having an awareness that you should set boundaries, where that comes from in childhood.
Yeah. So like with most things, the root of that comes from the transference and countertransference. I'll explain what those are with the primary caregiver or caregivers. You know, whether that's a parent or parents or grandparents or teachers or social workers, there's one or two main caregivers in a child's life from the beginning of their life. And transference is the feelings that come up for you in relation to somebody else. And countertransference is the reaction that that person has to that dynamic between you. So it's usually used to describe a patient and therapist relationship, but actually it can be used in adult general relationships as well. If a therapist or a person reminds you of a dominant caregiver from your childhood, then you may either cower in response to that person or you may become very aggressive in response to that person. And that's kind of the answer to your question, Lacey, which is depending on the interaction that you had with your primary caregiver or caregivers, it can go one of two ways, but they tend to be quite extreme. So with boundaries, of course, it's all on a spectrum, but it tends to be, I guess, more obvious where there's an issue is that there's either a very rigid boundary that can't be changed, you can't allow any infringement of that boundary, or there's absolutely no boundary. So in the face of some sort of threat or challenge to your boundary, that you completely open up and give way. So it's a little bit like the epigenetic research on stress responses in the children and grandchildren of people who survived terrible famines and, you know, things like the Holocaust. To survive, those people suppressed certain genes, but then their children and grandchildren who didn't need to suppress those genes had a response to that where either they became extremely resilient to stress or they became extremely anxious and easily stressed. And so with boundaries, it's the same. It's not necessarily that if your parents had very strict boundaries, you'll have very strict boundaries. It may be that as a response to that, you go completely the other way. So, and vice versa.
And I think too, kind of getting to the root of that, if you saw, okay, if I hold my boundaries, I'm either going to be safe, loved, and accepted, or I'm not. When kids notice like, okay, I tried to set a boundary and then this person bulldozed over them, I got love and affection for pleasing them, for ignoring my own boundary and honoring what they wanted. And so the child, you know, the kind of limiting belief they take in is, I will not have love and affection if I honor my boundaries.
100%.
Yeah, and that's what you see so much. And that's why it's such a pivotal moment for people where they realize that actually, when you do honor your boundary, you receive true love and respect in your adult life.
And I think just from a manifestation energetic perspective, when we are honoring our boundaries, which we could just say energetically is our true, whole, authentic self, and being unafraid to advocate and be and put out our authentic self and be unafraid of what may come of that. May it rear somebody's shadow, people drop off, the consequences, for lack of a better word, that's how we could see them. The universe really shows up for us and we create a ton of magnetism because we are literally saying, I'm going to take the masks off, you know, my onion layer, my trauma, my shadows, and I'm going to be my true, whole, worthy, authentic self. And that is the objective to manifestation, is to get back to that and be in your whole worth. It is hard. It's really, really challenging. And I think we're all faced with boundary work in very different ways. But the beauty, at least when it comes to the manifestation process of it, is it's a very tangible, rooted, actionable, step-by-step way to approach it, no matter how you're being triggered. May it be in your work environment, with friends, in your dating environment, or your marriage, there are a few anchors to really come back to and work through that you do have control over.
Yeah. And just one other question, Dr. Tara, kind of on the psychology front of it. I think so many times when people, I know years ago before I really understood and took a deep dive into what boundaries are and what they mean and how they actually mean self-love and self-worth, having strong boundaries. But I saw them as sort of back then as this block between me and another person. Like, oh no, if this person puts up boundaries, that means they're further away from me, disconnected. And I think it also, boundaries play into the anxious and avoidant types. And a lot of times people associate, oh, someone with strong boundaries might be avoidant because they just don't answer a call back, and that's a boundary. But it's a lot more nuanced than that. And it's really getting to the root of how and why they're setting the boundary, and are they able to have communication on it? Talk a little bit about how that anxious or avoidant plays into boundary work.
So you're both so right about the fact that it's a two-way thing. And, you know, Jessica, you've given a really beautiful example of the fact that it can be not us setting the boundary, but us responding to somebody who's setting a boundary and being, you know, feeling displaced by that. So the way that Lacey described it was that if you set a boundary, somebody's shadow might rear up, which means that they resist your change in a way that tries to get you to back down on your boundary. And, you know, equally, like you've said, Jessica, there can be times where somebody places a boundary between us and them. And we can, of course, become very anxious or avoidant, but also insulted and try to persuade them to behave differently. But actually, if you respect someone's boundary, if you're curious about it and you show respect for it, even if you feel like it might be saying something about you, it can grow a relationship, a friendship, and make it just so much better. So I think, you know, when someone sets a boundary, it's important to not take it personally, because it will be triggering us on, you know, some sort of rejection that we've experienced in the past. With boundary setting, I would say about 15% of the time, it might be something specific to do with the other person having transgressed, but 85% of the time, it's about the person themselves needing to set that boundary because they've reached a level of worthiness that demands, in a way, you know, a different way of being treated respectfully. So in a way, we're all on a spectrum. And if you think about how people get treated when they're dating, there are some people, and this is one of the things I really love about the way it's been expressed in the workshop, is that the verbal part of a boundary is actually the least important. Because if you really mean it from an energetic space and you are actually brave enough to action it if you have to, you don't need to say that much. So we all know the kind of people who go on dates and get ghosted or get treated badly, and they keep going on those dates and the pattern just remains like that for a very long time. And we all know that girl who every time she goes on a date, she gets treated really nicely and she always gets called up afterwards. And, you know, she sort of has really good long-term relationships. And that's because there's a level of self-worth that's both energetic, but actually carved into the neural architecture of there is only one way I accept of being treated. And I assume that that will happen all the time because my level of self-worth is so high. And funnily enough, it does, because we're all communicating with each other on a very primal level, whether it's hormones, body language, other things that, you know, we can't even name, but just that transference and counter-transference that we have between people, and of course the energetics, then there's some element of a boundary that people just know that they can't cross. And so they won't, you know, unless they're extremely pathological. And there are ways that we behave that we don't necessarily have to articulate with speech that leads to being treated in a certain way, which then fulfills a certain prophecy of how people react towards you, how people treat you, how relationships are conducted. And so when it's put like that, it really makes us all realize how much that responsibility lies with us to give out the message on whatever level that is, neural or energetic or otherwise, without necessarily having to spell it out, that we expect to be treated a certain way.
From your lips to the universe's ears. Everything you just said, I really, really want to highlight for people on the manifestation front. And you will learn that in this workshop quite in depth, that the verbal actually communicating your boundary is truly, when it comes to manifestation, the least weighted, just as you said. And your example was so pristine, using dating for, you know, the person who has a neural architect now that it's the only way that they'll be treated. I can speak to that in my own personal experience because I experienced that entire arc from being a doormat to being in between, to starting to set boundaries, but being afraid that still I'll lose the people, to then getting to a place of like purely in my worth, the true I don't give a fuck anymore space. And therefore, I have always, since that point on, been treated profoundly well in dating. It is the easiest thing for me to attract as a partner. And so you really spoke to that so clearly that it really, the accountability comes down to us, but the energetic work is the subconscious work of boundary setting, and then the action, which is the follow through. It's by far the most important when it comes to manifestation. And you highlighted it so well in what you said as to why.
Yeah. And Lacey, let's just dive into the energetic, right? Because I think that's such a basis of boundaries. It's something I know I haven't really heard about or learned before. A lot of things that I've read about boundaries has all been verbal and scripts and all of that stuff, which can be extraordinarily helpful. But I think as well, you know, when it comes to you hear, especially in the spiritual community, energetic boundaries, I always thought of like, I have to sit down and have someone like clean my aura, you know, like I literally thought.
It's a good example, actually. It's a really good example.
I literally thought of, okay, this is just a spiritual cleansing. That's how I'm going to set my boundary. And realizing it's so much deeper than that. It's all into the subconscious work. It's all into the neuroscience of it. It's all into our neural pathways. So kind of dive into some of the energetics.
Yeah, I mean, really what it comes down to, energetically setting boundaries, it just involves shifting the subconscious beliefs of low self-worth from which you're projecting. And it really comes down to everything. I mean, you said it so perfectly, Jessica, you know, when it comes to this manifestation work, it comes down to you not receiving love and acceptance when you needed to set a boundary. Therefore, it was much easier to people please. And that can show up, like you said, Dr. Tara, in a spectrum of areas in our life. I'm personally incredibly good at boundaries when it comes to relationships, dating, being very, very specific with my time. Like I'm probably often perceived as a bitch because I have very little time to hang out with people because I know how much time I need to rest and relax for my adrenals. So I'm incredible when it comes to that. terrible when it comes to setting boundaries with my family. Very hard for me to set boundaries in people-pleasing situations. You know, I'll just kind of go with the flow. Then I'll have to go back home and think about it. So that space that we're projecting from that is literally people-pleasing or low self-worth or afraid, which energetically, it's just the equivalent to having a shadow or a mask. It's interesting how intertwined those are. But to get to the real root of what you're asking, this is by far the most important part of setting a boundary is doing the neuroplasticity work, getting to the root of whatever trigger that's coming up, the boundary that's needing to be set right now. Where did I pick up this difficulty in setting this and advocating for myself and showing up as my whole, worthy, authentic self and not being afraid of the consequences? Where does that come from? And reprogramming it and then reinforcing it. And when we shift the way that we project in this particular field of whatever this trigger is, and we really put it into practice enough, and we'll get into the action after this, we no longer start to really see that boundary being agitated or triggered anymore. So it is by far the most important. And I'll let you sort of take it over on that note, Dr. Tarr, to just go a little bit further into the neuroscience of that.
Yeah, so that's the reason that boundaries are related to personal magnetism. And maybe it's a little bit easier to understand that if you're trying to manifest something and you don't really believe that you deserve it, there's a lot of magic dark and a lot of tests. But with boundaries, because they're so subconscious, you actually have to change the neural pathway. So, you know, we often get that question with some of the work, are you actually changing a memory in your brain? And we're very clear that you're not changing a memory and you're changing the emotion that's associated with it. But perhaps with boundaries, you are actually changing something that used to be a certain way, because if you don't, you're not able to sustain the verbal or actionable outcomes that you need to maintain your energetic boundaries. It's just too much hard work. You have to actually believe that it is completely inappropriate for somebody to cross that line to make it easy to say, that's not okay, or don't say that to me again, or please remember that I really don't like it when you, it will just come out of your mouth if that boundary has actually been changed in your neural pathway. And I just want to say, least of all to reassure you, Lacey, but a lot more for the listeners, because I think so many people will resonate with this, that boundaries with the family that we grew up in are a million times the hardest ones to change, no matter how old you are. I remember when my late mother-in-law said something to my husband. You know, she was in a nursing home at the end, and he said, oh, she knows how to push my buttons. And I said, darling, she's a 98-year-old little lady who hardly knows who we are most of the time. She's not trying to push your buttons. So, you know, those things run deep. And, you know, where there's been a parent-child interaction, it's very, very difficult to change that. And it goes both ways. So I was just thinking about your friend with her young child, and that you can have parents who were very strict, but then with the grandchildren, if you're very strict, they're like, oh, you know, Lacey, don't be so strict, you'll be fine, or she'll be fine, or whatever. And it, you know, it's completely different to what you remember them being like. So there's all sorts of complex dynamics. But the fact is that these things run deep, and therefore they're like a reflex. They're even lower than subconscious in a way. So, you know, subconscious is in the limbic brain, but reflex is in the brainstem. So it's like, it's more primal even than that. And so when a boundary gets crossed that you're used to be it being crossed, you're really powerless to do anything unless you've actually changed that neural pathway in your brain.
You asked and we are answering. New customers, pathway sale is extended through December 31st. You'll want to use the new code MAGNETIC20, all caps, MAGNETIC20, to sign up for the pathway at the rate of $20 a month, as opposed to $27 a month. That's a $7 savings monthly, which will be a total of 12 payments that'll equate to $240 for the entire year. Again, that's MAGNETIC20 for $20 a month. The pathway includes every single one of our workshops, as well as our monthly class supported, where we answer the most frequently asked questions that you send in. And if you're totally new to this work, this is your first time tuning in, or you've just been interested in what you've been hearing lately, I always encourage people to go click on the link below called The Motivation. It's our portal that houses every single one of our members' manifestations that they've materialized, their testimonies, how they went about the process, and it's categorized. So whether you're looking for love, money, career, I mean, there's a slew in there of what you can find. Not to mention, you're already beginning the manifestation practice because as you read those, you're expanding. You're seeing to believe what's possible for you. And if you just want to get a taste of what the workshops are like and our deep imagining process, I suggest clicking the link below and checking out the free clarity exercise. In that exercise, you'll get a taste for our journal process, the hypnosis process, and you'll even get some aha unblocking moments. The pathway provides the most bang for your buck with 12 months of all access to every single one of our workshops. Use the code MAGNETIC20. That's all caps, MAGNETIC20. Check out the show notes to learn more about our offerings. All right, back to this episode. This is maybe a little bit of a tangent, but I want to educate on this for the person who's listening and you're tracking, you're totally understanding what we're saying here to help you read energetics in your life even more. Another interesting way this energetic can show up, and it's, I think, easy to see in ratio to boundaries, because I think a lot of people who are doing this work can probably identify with this moment, but we kind of have an internal chuckle sometimes when, you know, you'll hear people say, well, I'm in my worth, so no, I'm not going to do that. And it's interesting because if you truly were in your subconscious worth, that thing wouldn't be showing up anymore. So there's an element that you're not yet in your worth. You're on the arc. You're on your way to being in your worth. You know, we can see that with people and money. They'll say like, well, I'm in my worth, so I'm not going to take that. Well, truly, you're not in your worth if you're having to say it. Because when you're truly, truly in your worth about a subject, A, you're no longer really tested with it anymore because what you're projecting, something entirely different now is showing up in your life. It's just not something that needs to be tested anymore because you do have that true new belief, that new foundation of neuroplasticity in ratio to that. So like for me, going back to dating, even before Max, and if I were to be single now, I truly don't believe I would be very tested in dating because I don't care if I'm single. Like I'm so in my worth about it that I know so deeply that the perfect person I want to manifest, and perfect being a very liberal word, because the moment we get into a relationship, that's when the real work starts for both of us, right? Because we're mirrors. But that would never be something where I have to say, I'm in my worth, so I'm going to turn this date down or I'm going to walk away from this situation. So just really wanting to educate on that a little bit, because that may help you kind of spot boundaries a little bit more too, where we think we might subconsciously already be strong in our boundaries. If that thing continues to show up, it shows that we still have quite a bit of neural architectural work to do there.
I love that too, because I think, you know, even the idea of just saying like, oh, I'm in my worth, getting to the root of that, it kind of reminds me when someone like brags about, oh yeah, I'm so happy, everything's so joyous. It's almost like they're saying it out loud to convince themselves and other people versus actually embodying it.
100%. Yep.
And I actually have an example kind of on this front a bit. And it was interesting, Lacey, you and I had recorded a boundaries episode like way in the beginning of the year, before the pandemic, before all of this.
Pre-Dr. Tara.
Yeah.
So we had to do this so that we could all do it together. We needed the science and the psychology.
I know. It was really interesting listening back, because at the time I was trying to set this boundary with myself of making sure to put work down at a certain time and exercise on a regular basis. And you're like, once you start jumping off that cliff and sort of putting the time to yourself to exercise, like it's going to flow so much better and your magnetism is going to be increased. And it's so interesting. I remember feeling like I did when I recorded that, and I had pretty bad boundaries. Like I had a really hard time putting work down at the end of the night and exercising. And when I first started to try boundaries on that, I did it with like brute force. I was like, I'm going to work out every day.
Which is just the action.
Exactly. It was total action. And I was successful for a bit, and then it went back to the old way. And it wasn't until I was like, why do I feel like I'm not worthy to take time for myself? Why do I feel like I'm in lack of not being able to like go take time for myself at the end of the night? And what am I so afraid of by taking time to work out? And it wasn't until I took that through the DIs and really journaled on that and was like, okay, I need to like prove myself in some way, and I don't. And I'm really confident at what I'm doing, and I am worth taking time to take care of my physical health at the same time. And now at the place that I'm in, it's like I'm working out 4 or 5 days a week without thought. It's not even a question of like, oh, when am I going to get it in? How do I fix it? You know, it's just like, no, it's just I am doing that.
And that's such a great example of a self-boundary. And we are going to get in right now to the other two parts of boundaries, which is verbal and action. I really do want to take a moment to highlight, because I see this so often, just like I see the person that goes, I'm in my worth. And I'm like, you haven't done enough subconscious work on this thing, because you wouldn't need to say it. If you truly are, you're humbly in it. You know, you're so worthy, you're in it. And therefore, you're not being tested in it anymore. But another alternative I'll see very often is that people use no is the most magnetic word you can do actionably or say. They'll use it as a cop-out to not do the energetic phase of it, which is the subconscious reprogramming and work. And they'll just start turning down every dating experience as soon as there's a red flag, or turn down the job opportunities that are coming in while they're trying to manifest them. And then they're like, why am I not manifesting my person or my job? It's because all you're doing is the action. You're not doing the energetic. And the energetic, again, like Dr. Tara said, and like you just highlighted, Jessica, is the most important. Because if you just do the action, you're going to continue to receive that experience over and over and over again in different forms that you're projecting out low self-worth, which is somewhere that you don't have boundaries yet, somewhere that you're not truly in your worth yet. And I love the example you just gave, Jessica, because it's helping a lot of people right now go, oh, that's what a self-boundary looks like when I'm setting one with myself. And in that typical situation, the person who hasn't done any energetic work could actually go, well, it's the job environment. Like if I don't give 120% and put myself in the backseat, maybe I'll get fired or whatever, whatever. But you got to realize that it's an us thing. It's a me thing. It's an accountability thing. And that's what all boundaries come down to.
I think that Jessica's example is so pertinent to almost every professional person, that thing about should I keep working or stop working and spend some time on myself. And I think it can be extended from a me boundary to an external boundary as well, because sometimes it could be that you do put your things down and stop working, but somebody, a friend or a family member, asks you to help them. And then you have a really difficult choice, which is, do I do the exercise that's really good for me, or do I give up that time for this person? And so I think for both of those examples, there's some research from Harvard about something called immunity to change, which is about competing commitment. So we have a reason that we tell ourselves or the other person on the surface that we don't do. So for example, the exercise, Jessica, that you may say, oh, you know, I'm too busy with work, or I really need to impress my boss to get this promotion. But then if you go underneath it and ask, well, what's the real reason that I keep working and I don't do exercise? It's much more likely to be some sort of self-worth reason. And that's the thing that you need to take to the DIs, basically, and to this workshop specifically. So there is some very strong science from a top institution, obviously not as good as MIT, but up there, which shows that we have an excuse that we give, which could work quite well with a boundary to somebody else, but then there's a competing commitment, which is a low self-worth belief. That's what we need to work on for ourselves.
Amazing.
I love that, Dr. I think that's so helpful. And I think those self-boundaries are one of the hardest things for people. And I'm sure we'll kind of touch on that again or further, maybe in an Instagram post too at some point as well. But let's kind of keep going on the list of the three different types of boundaries. So we really covered energetic and the importance of that. That's kind of like ground zero for really starting your boundary work. And then we have verbal, which is stating your needs. So let's talk about the importance of verbal, especially for someone who maybe was an avoidant and they've had a really hard time stating their needs to other people. They always kind of shy away from that. How can the verbal be helpful, and how can they do it in a way that is best received versus just yelling at someone to leave them alone, for example?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because as an avoidant, verbal to me is one of the most challenging still to state. I'm able to do it more, but kind of as we said, it is the least important in this lineup, you know, making sure that the energetic is really, really looked at first and worked on. Then when it comes to stating our needs, we're going to have a lot more confidence in doing so, and we're going to have a lot more understanding. And one thing that I always really like to say when it comes to verbal is there are a couple of really key, cool ways to learn like nonviolent communication or the Imago technique, you know, especially if one has a lot of trouble stating their needs. But the one thing that I like to warn people is not everybody is at the same conscious level that you are. And this isn't to put people, you know, on a pedestal or somebody beneath, nothing. We're all growing at different rates in different spectrums. So where I may have a lot of strengths, somebody else in that this particular department may not, and vice versa. So when we are stating our needs, it's really important to know, even if we're doing it as consciously as possible, the person on the other end or people on the other end may not consciously be able to have that conversation. And we may have their shadows reared, which we go in depth in the workshop. There's a formula that we kind of came up with, a manifestation for boundaries. And the first part of it is drawing a line in the sand of what you will no longer accept. So that's the energetic portion. That's the subconscious reprogramming work that you need to do to shift the energetics at play. And then the second part is state your needs if the communication aspect is applicable. So you're dealing with a conscious individual that can have that conversation. They're not a narcissist. They're not going to throw it back in your face. They're not a sociopath. Or what if you're setting a boundary with yourself? There's not a lot of conscious communication you're going to need to do, right? That is the stating your needs portion. And then the third part is the follow through. And that's the actionable, which we'll get into, that's going to be the second most important after the energetic. So the follow through can actually be, and we can give examples of this, but it's, let's say, in a dating experience, right? I can even give one of mine that I've spoken about, you know, openly. And this was when I was in the arc of becoming very in my worth with dating. But there was this point when I went out on a date with this guy who was a friend of a friend, and he was the list and more. You know, it was all the superficial things I thought that I wanted, he embodied. Then we went to dinner and he kept staring at other women all night. And it was probably just a, maybe he's a creative and seeing other people interest him. I don't know, but I didn't like it. So to me, that was a little bit of a red flag. And I had been doing a lot of the energetic portion of boundaries at this point, but I was being tested still, see? So I wasn't totally in my worth on this. So the next day he said, I had a really good time. I would love to see you when I get back from New York. And I said, I text back. And this was the first time I had communicated in a true dating situation that wasn't just a projection of like dating advice that you get in books and what to say and the lines to do. I actually had to find the strength and state my needs and draw a line in the sand. And I said, I think we're better off just being friends. You're a really cool person. However, the things that just didn't jive with me last night was a wandering eye, an X, Y, and Z. So I don't think this will actually continue as a dating experience. And I don't think anybody had ever told him that before. And for me, it was just a feat to finally state my needs. I think there's a really, again, going back to that whole example of, well, I'm in my worth. It's really important and clear to see, you know, when I was kind of hitting that on the head that, well, no, you're really not if you're still having to say it. And this boundary formula is really showing you that, because in that moment, I could have just been like, I'm in my worth, so I can take the action here and just not even respond to him, or I can ghost him or whatever. But no, the road more traveled jumping off of a cliff, right? We create magnetism when we walk through our fears, was me as an avoidant who is a people pleaser actually going through and stating my needs from a confident place and not being afraid of the outcome. So that's the portion of stating your needs and the boundary formula. But again, the energetic and the action are the most important. So let's have a conversation on the stating the needs before we go into the action, and I'll open up the floor to you guys.
I actually just wanted to make a quick point, which was going through in my mind until you gave that example, which is that stating your needs, even though we call it verbal, doesn't always mean saying it to the person's face. It can be in writing, and that can, you know, can sometimes be a bit easier. So I was actually just thinking of a work example, well, sort of work slash friend example, where I was very, very busy with work. And a friend wrote to me and said, oh, I've got this dear, dear friend who like hasn't slept for months and she's seen every doctor. And please, I was just wondering if you could speak with her because she's at her wit's end. And it was so hard, but I had to write back and say, I'm so busy. I literally don't have time to do like things that I need to for myself and my family. And I can't take a phone call now. And if she's seen all these doctors, I won't know anything different to them. And the person wrote back and said, wow, like so proud of you. You know, you really need to say no more. And I hope you're not too busy and everything. So actually sometimes when you do it, and it's a good experience, it kind of helps you to realize that it doesn't mean the person's going to hate you if you say no to something.
And I love that example, Dr. Tarr, because that actually really highlights and shows even energetically when you are where your consciousness is at this moment in growth in your life is met with somebody who is the equivalent of that, is equally as conscious, you can actually have those really conscious verbal exchanges or, like you said, written exchanges of stating your needs.
Yeah, I mean, this person is particularly lovely and psychologically developed and everything. So yeah, I guess there's a version of that where it wouldn't be received well, but the more examples of it being received well that you can recall or write into your journal, the more it helps you to build up the actual energetic that that's the right thing to do. And that if the person doesn't respond well to that, that says a lot more about them than it does about you.
I like that you said that too, because in the last episode, I had asked that question, you know, when it comes to in the moment you're triggered, you know, and some practices out there talk about with neuroplasticity to go to gratitude or go to your heart space. But you actually gave that really incredible example of showing your mind of other times that had been, you know, a positive experience. Basically, you showed evidence of things working out in the past or being positive actually helps that. And I think that was am I correct that it's the raised awareness part of changing, of overriding a neural pathway?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So that's such a good example of that. You know, and another example of that that has actually helped me a lot when it comes to continuing to set boundaries and walking through my edge of fear of communicating them, may it be written or, you know, actually saying them, has been watching manifestations come through each time I do. So it's another version of showing your brain evidence to be prepared for that and to continue to do it.
I think exactly kind of what you were both saying, stating your needs is definitely like a strong part to create magnetism. And especially when you have the energetic getting worked through, then it seems to stick more. But I think it's also important to make sure, like you were saying, you're doing the verbal to someone who is able to receive it. Whereas someone who might have, let's say from the example earlier, an abusive relationship, they might not need to state their verbal needs to that person. They might need to do energetic and actionable, which is removing themselves from the relationship. You know, people are like, well, I didn't get to tell them how much they hurt me. And you see this a lot of times often with, you know, parents, or let's say someone's parents has passed away. They're like, I didn't get to tell them like what I needed in that. And you can still set the verbal, even if that is writing in your journal, your needs or whatever that may be, because there are certain people where maybe it is too dangerous to state it, or it's not possible because they're not around anymore, or it might be a very toxic person and you don't want to bring them back into your life. So you kind of state those needs from afar, but just work on the energetic and the actionable. But when you can do it with someone who's a bit more conscious, or at least someone who's safe to state your needs to, it can be received even better than you had imagined.
But can I also check with both of you that We're not saying that the verbal piece isn't important. I think we're just saying that it's less important because if you've got the energetics piece right, then you wouldn't even need to use the verbal piece. So if, for example, we use Lacey's example, if Lacey ever was on the dating market again, then I don't think that anybody who's got a wandering eye would even try to go out with her because they would know that she just would never have anything to do with them.
Yes, exactly. And thank you for reiterating that, Dr. Tara, because that is the exact truth, you know, when it comes to the energetic piece. It's interesting figuring out exactly when you're going to need to use the verbal. And it can be very important. Look at in my arc of growing my self-worth and dating, it was tremendously important for me, especially as an avoidant, especially as a codependent and a people pleaser. That actually took me to a new level of magnetism because I faced a really big fear of having to communicate my needs.
And also even going down and understanding nonviolent communication, Imago technique, and stating them, let's say, from the I perspective and really getting clear on, okay, how do I share with this person what my needs are in a way that's owning exactly how I feel and not blaming them for what's happening?
Yes. And we cover that in the workshop. We, you know, give the tools for that because I do think that approach can be received a lot better than not having any tools or guidance at all.
Actually, I think there's another really important thing to say, which is that in a way, we're inferring that setting a boundary is quite negative, especially if you're raising children. And obviously, I've more recently been in a step-parent situation. Boundaries actually make people, particularly children, feel safe.
Oh, yeah. When I taught at preschool, that was the number one. You would see the children, they love having a structure within that they can be free.
Exactly. So I think it's worth saying that because otherwise it just felt a bit like we were saying every time you did it, that it would potentially be negatively received. And that's not the case.
Not at all. And I think there's one quote that we use in the workshop, good fences make good neighbors. And I think we're speaking generally to people who may have harder trouble setting boundaries in different spectrums of their life. But for the most part, when you get into flow with it, it becomes the most rewarding thing on the planet. Maybe personal boundaries or boundaries with the outside world. Just because you have a lot more energy, you feel a lot more in your true, whole, worthy self. You begin to live the life that's in alignment with your soul because you're not doing all of these things anymore to please other people or living out the dreams of what society told you you needed to do or your family. You really, really get in touch with your true, whole, authentic self. So it becomes incredibly, incredibly rewarding. So thank you for touching on that, Dr. Tara, because I think we're trying to speak to the people who may find this challenging, but it's actually really incredibly rewarding.
Yeah. And I definitely am talking to my younger self.
Same.
Prefacing, because I know how scary it felt to me. And it felt so like I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to hear about it. I didn't want people to do it to me. It felt like a really scary thing. It felt like all these bad repercussions were going to happen on the other side because I was so used to people pleasing. And now, having gone through this work, gone through the energetic, gone through the verbal, gone through the actionable with many people and many things in my life, it is the thing that excites me the most. Like if I know I have to set a boundary somewhere, I'm like, whoa, there's going to be so much magnetism on the other side of that. This is so exciting. Like something's coming through. I get to set a boundary. I get to step into my worth further. I get to examine another place where I maybe haven't examined before. So it really does feel magical now. But I did come from the place of not feeling like that. So I guess I'm just talking to that younger self who might have needed that motivation. And let's dive into the actionable. So this is the follow through. This is, you know, another really vital step in this process. How can people do the follow through? Like, what does that look like? What are some examples? What are ways that you guys have followed through with an actionable? What are examples you've seen other friends go through to just really like paint the picture for everyone out there?
Yeah, I mean, before we even get into the examples, the one thing I really want to reiterate, because if there's anything somebody walks away with from this episode, especially going into this work, energetic you have to do that before the actionable. You just have to get in there. Otherwise, the actionable, if you just do that, which does on its own create situational magnetism, you will find magnetism because you're usually jumping off of a cliff, walking away from, saying no to things you normally wouldn't have. And doing that alone starts to create magnetism. However, if you don't do the energetic, you will continue to receive in different areas of your life the same, what we can kind of call a test, you know, a boundary, a test or a trigger continue to come up. So I just really, really want to nail that home, getting into the actionable. It's so important, just as Jessica's example was, and just as the example I said to the people who are, you know, out saying no and passing tests all the time and jumping off the cliff. And they're like, why am I not manifesting? Or like with you, Jessica, not building that true habit, that true boundary. So I just want to preface that. And then I would love to hear people's examples of taking action. And, you know, giving a little bit of a definition here, taking action to set a boundary can involve distancing yourself, jumping off cliffs, and removing or leaving dynamics in which you are treated poorly, abused, or undervalued energetically, emotionally, mentally, or physically.
One example just came into my mind. It's an example of a strong boundary that was set during childhood, which has played out, I would certainly say, well for me. And so I want to share it as an example of when I do that, I've not had any bad responses. And so for some people who struggle with it, it could help. So I had a nanny when I was at primary school who had a cushion with a quote stitched on it, never a lender or a borrower be. And basically, you know, I've hardly ever had any debt in my life. Probably a home loan is the only thing I've ever had. And I prefer not to get into the complication of lending people money in case there's ever an issue with it. So I sort of made a rule to myself that if somebody asks me, you know, a friend or family member asks me to lend them some money, I don't mind lending them money. I won't even expect to get it back. So it has to be an amount that I'm cool with not getting back. But I'm very clear with people. I'll lend you money once. If you pay me back, I'll lend you money again. If you don't pay me back, don't ever ask me again. And it's not always stated that explicitly, but that's my boundary.
I'm like, go, Dr. Tar. See her verbal? Amazing.
But like we were saying earlier, you often don't have to say it like that because it's so clear in your energy that either the person, you know, would always pay you back because they'd like to keep that channel open, or once they cross that boundary, there's absolutely no chance that they would be able to cross it again. So why I really wanted to say that is that that's a very strong boundary for me. And I've never, ever had a bad experience with saying to someone, I'm not lending you money because you didn't pay me back last time. And I'm sure there are so many people out there that lend money and then somebody asks again and they struggle with the boundary of saying no. So they lend more and more and more money till it gets, you know, to a ridiculous point. So mostly I just wanted to share that one to say, if it helps people to hear that just saying, well, you know, you didn't pay me back the last time I lent you money, and people usually accept that, then I just hope that's helpful.
Well, what I love that you said in that, you know, the lesson in that, and we talk about this in the workshop, is when we use verbal to state our needs, an example of that can be to set up expectations, right? So say you're in a dating experience and you're in the arc of really getting into your worth. I think we have a couple of explicit examples of that, but, you know, say maybe the person you've been seeing for a little bit, you guys had a great texting rapport, and then all of a sudden their communication really starts to fall off and it feels like, okay, I'm being taken advantage of here. You know, those three questions we set up, and then you have to state your needs. Like, let's say you've done the energetic boundary work on it. Now it's time to state your needs. A version of stating your needs can be expectations. The communication there is, look, I'm looking for something really serious here. We had a great rapport. I'm noticing now that it feels like texting is falling off or not as important. If in any way you're not feeling as serious as I am or working towards that, then this maybe isn't the right fit. So setting an expectation of sorts, and it can be towards anything. I love that as a part of the verbal, because when it comes to the action, the follow through of the formula, it's not out of left field. And it's not coming from that place of the example of the person that I have been before that I was saying, that's just like walking away from every red flag and turning down every job opportunity and wondering why their manifestation isn't showing up. you will have done the energetic work. You will have stated your needs by setting up an expectation. And then if the boundary is crossed again at that point, it's time to take action, which is walking away, right? Or whatever. It can be different for different circumstances. But that's what I think was really clear about the example you gave. So thank you for sharing that.
I have kind of a quick example I can share that I had with a previous job that I worked, where it was a writing gig and we were in the office so long and I was completing my deadline much faster than a lot of the team had. And I really just wasn't thriving in being in a fluorescent light, no windowed office all day. My body was just screaming to be in nature more and more freedom to be able to walk around. And after I completed that job, I was like, okay, I'm not going to accept any more writing jobs with this company unless I can work remotely, because I just cannot function in their particular office space. And so when they reached back out and, you know, were like, hey, this is the offer, blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, I'm happy to help you guys, but I can only do it if I'm able to work remotely. And they said no. And so my carry through actionable was saying, thank you so much, but I'm going to have to pass. And so it's kind of, you know, being able to state my needs, doing energetic of like, why is this not? And really what helped me in that one was going through my authentic code. And I was like, why do I not like this office environment so much? What's going on? And it's like, oh, because I need freedom. I need to be able to walk in nature. If I need a 10-minute break or something, I need to be near windows. I don't want to be under fluorescent lights. And so knowing in my authentic code that freedom was important, then I was able to state my needs with unwavering confidence. And then I was able to carry through by saying no.
That was great. And I think that really shows the different parts of the formula of a boundary. For me, most recently, I may have given this example in something else, but we're currently remodeling our house in Topanga. And I'm actually tested very often in the last couple of years with contractors or landscapers, may it have been up at the forest house or whatever. I clearly have some deeper energetic work to be doing here. But an example that did come up when we started was we hadn't really looked at their terms of payment super clearly when we signed the contract, just assuming that they were similar to all other terms of payment. And when we started the job, they actually wanted 100% of the entire remodel payment within the first month and a half of doing the work on the house. And we were like, what? Like, no, never heard of it. You know, we talked to a ton of people and it was absolutely ill-advised. So we had to walk through this process. And so I had to really look into the energetics of what was going on there and why these patterns continue to repeat. And then Max and I had to get very comfortable with stating our needs. And we took a lot of time on this email back and forth. You know, we had our lawyer look at it. And so we really set up that stating our needs, and it was incredibly eloquent and it set up an expectation. It also drew a very specific line in the sand. And what we had to be very okay with was to walk away and have to find a new team to be our contractors. And so it was a really clear example of this boundary. And they came back to us on Monday saying, okay, we can work with the payment schedule that you proposed, which was entirely reasonable. But that was us walking through that. And I continue to be challenged and in this area always. So it's a deep, deep place I need to work on the energetics. It shows that I am not in my worth yet.
I love that though, because I do think, especially when it comes to home things, like you had mentioned earlier, you know, you have really strong boundaries in all different types of relationships, but family, it's, you know, you're still working through setting stronger boundaries with family. And I'm sure there's a tie between this is your home, nesting ground, family. It's probably such a similar dynamic.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good highlight, Jessica, of helping people read energetics, that home has many offshoots, right? Like what the home represents is an umbrella for many things. And I'm continuing to be tested in many of those things. So it shows where my work lies ahead.
Yeah, not Jessica, that was so profound. Yeah, really good. I was just thinking, it's the sort of thought that was coming up. And then when you said that, it kind of really landed for me, which is that my area of being tested is around being that the carer and helping people. And so that can come up through either like work that isn't paid as well as it should be, or friends or family actually needing looking after, or just, you know, advice or whatever. Yeah, that's actually really interesting. We should look into that further, helping people to understand their particular theme.
Agreed. We have so many places. We need like an entrepreneurial workshop. We have so many places to continue supporting people. But I am actually really, really, really excited that this is released, because when, you know, we created this right before the pandemic and it was just like, I don't think this is the time to put this out. We need to support people in other ways right now. And there really couldn't be a more perfect time than, you know, the holiday season. I was so impressed by how thorough and deep this workshop is that I think people, your minds are going to be blown with this workshop, and so grateful. Similarly to the response we received when we put out Uplevel same time of year 2 years ago.
Yeah, it could not be a more perfect time of year to really look at your life and see, okay, we're sort of in this new phase. We're still sort of in lockdown of sorts. Dr. Tara, you are in your second lockdown. And now that we've understood what it's like to be in this pandemic, how do we start creating boundaries for ourselves in this new normal? How do we honor that over the holidays? Do we need to set boundaries where maybe we're not able to travel to our loved one this holiday and it's going to be really hard telling them that that's not going to be on the table? I mean, there's just so many things that come up around this time of year, and could not be a more perfect time to really hunker down and set those magical boundaries. So I actually wanted to end on just go over the checklist again of where you might need boundaries. So does it impede on an emotional or physical well-being? Does it make you feel small or like you are settling? Do you feel like you're being taken advantage of physically, emotionally, financially, energetic, or yourself? And then one other thing to note is, are you not having space for your manifestation to come through? Because that can be a big section where maybe I need a boundary on something.
And for anybody who didn't join us in the pathway during the big sale that we had over Black Friday, we are doing a challenge all together as a group. We like to collectively do this before the new year. By doing this work together, why we like to is because we're doing a lot of the heavy lifting to actually connect with our manifestations in 2021. So if you haven't already, join in on this magnetism challenge to really prepare to have done the heavy lifting to connect with your manifestation as soon as possible, really, in 2021.
I'd just like to echo what Lacey said by extending the example that Jessica gave about sort of family dynamics at holiday time, and really say that, yes, those family dynamics are very deep in the neural architecture, but that's why for boundaries, you must do the energetic work that's based on neuroplasticity, because it can't be sustained without that. So if you've done that work, even in holiday time, even with your family, the boundaries will be easier. But if you haven't, then you'll get those typical holiday time issues that families get.
And that's why we love this time of year to do this work, because traditionally you tend to be triggered more at this time of year. May it be not only just family, but everything that the holidays bring up commercially in society for people. I mean, there's a lot that goes on here. I remember when I was single, this was a really hard time of year for me. This is the perfect time to be witnessing those triggers, to really follow through and do that energetic work. So I love that. Thank you, Dr. Tara.
Thank you, Lacey and Dr. Tara. What an expansive episode. I'm sure I will be listening to this one over and over again for more tips and things that I'm picking up each time. But thank you guys very much for joining me. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We hope you have a blessed week, and we will see you next Friday.
Bye.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, definitely send it to the friend, the family member, whoever out there could benefit. That's how I garner a lot of my information, are when friends shoot over a really profound episode they've heard somewhere to me. I also want to encourage you, if you want to be entered to win a one-year membership to The Pathway, go and leave a 5-star podcast review. We've been announcing some really cool ones and reading them off, and it's been pretty profound how already those Pathway memberships have been super instrumental to the people who have won them. We'll choose a new winner each month, so listen in here at the end of the episode to hear if you've won. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our Black and BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.